good to have fun together, isn't it? But it's also good to stop and think. I'm a great believer in having lots of fun in church, but also think sometimes we need to then change that and think seriously. Okay, this is not my poor grammar. Okay, this is a deliberate way of stating this. What cost did Jesus pay for us? Okay, and Alison preempted that before, so thank you for doing that. That's great. By saying, well, the cost was the cross. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2, if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn to this because these are important words. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 23 to 24. Christ did not sin or ever tell a lie. Although he was abused, he never tried to get even. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he had faith in God who judges fairly. Christ carried the burden of our sins. He was nailed to the cross so that we would stop sinning and start living right. By his cuts and bruises, we are healed. So, what's the cost for Jesus? Cost him everything, even though he'd never done anything wrong. Even though he was abused, even though he suffered at the hands of people like you and me. But let's think about that slightly differently. What's the cost of following Jesus? What's the cost of being a disciple? What's the cost to us? We've reached the end of 1 year. And tonight at midnight, we will start 2018. Scary. 18 years since we all celebrated the year 2000. Wow. And yet we do that, don't we? We kind of think, oh, well, yeah, it's a new year and all the New Year's resolutions and that kind of thing. Which reminds me, has anybody else's clothes mysteriously shrunk over the last week? I don't know what's happened, but it must be in my wardrobe that, anyway. So we make New Year's resolutions. Oh, well, I'm going to go to the gym more. I'm going to lose weight. Or I'm going to be nice to people. Or I'm going to give more time. Or I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to do that. Because that's what we do at New Year, isn't it? We make these promises. We make these kind of things. Oh, yes, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And maybe even in our Christian lives, we think, well, I'm going to be more like Jesus. I'm going to be a better follower of Jesus. And Jesus did promise a new kingdom. He promised us as his followers a kingdom. But he also said that we would face difficulties, that we might suffer because of our faith. One thing that Jesus couldn't stand was people sitting on the fence. You had to make a decision either to follow him or not to follow him. Over the last 12 months, we've had some interesting things going on in the buildings next to us. Okay? Denbighshire County Council did not count the cost before they started. Okay? Which is why it's going to take probably another 6 weeks before we get our car park back. So thank you, David, for highlighting that. Now, there wasn't any choice because the building was unsafe. But you can see just by looking at that, we're all getting a bit, oh, when is it going to finish? And it's like that, isn't it? You make this plan. Oh, we're going to do this. And sometimes we don't count the cost. And maybe on New Year's Eve, we think, well, we'll make a New Year's resolution. But perhaps we don't think about what it's going to cost for us. As a Christian, if I'm going to be a better follower of Jesus, is it going to cost me my social status, my wealth, my friends? Am I willing to put all that on one side? We must carefully count the cost of coming and saying, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. This is what Luke 14:26 says. You cannot come with me unless you love me more than you love your own life. Okay, and this is serious stuff. You know, we kind of say, oh yeah, the Christian life, and it's wonderful, and we want people to become Christians, we want people to follow Jesus. But actually, there is a cost involved. There is something that we need to do for ourselves to say, if I'm going to be serious about this, it's going to cost me. There are going to be consequences to the actions that I take. You cannot come with me unless you love me more than you love your own life. But then moving that a bit further, are you willing to pay the price to submit yourselves to the church, to each other, and to God? Because it's not just about us saying, oh yeah, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. We actually need to put ourselves in a position where we are fed and we grow. Just before Christmas, we talked about remembering. We talked about the act of communion and remembering what Jesus did for us. And part of that is coming together as God's people and reminding each other, well, this is what we believe. This is what we do. Encouraging each other. Yeah, you're doing a good job. It's okay. Keeping each other accountable. How are you getting on this week? How are you getting on with that struggle that you have? Can I pray for you? Can I show you that God loves you? And as a church, what are we going to do? Walter Brueggemann, who is a theologian, he wrote this. So he's talking about evangelism and the cost to the church. So listen carefully, and I'll explain why in a minute. So the conclusion that nothing can remain the same as it did not in the Bible itself. I imagine that the main issue for the church today in thinking about evangelism is to recover the nerve, the brackets then, courage and freedom, to say unambiguously that embrace of the news is pervasively transformative. And I read that and I thought, actually, that's ambiguous. Because how many of us know what pervasively transformative might mean? So let's try and explain it a little bit. So the conclusion is that the church can't stay the same. We must change. Society around us is changing. And we're kidding ourselves if we think that by doing the same thing week after week is going to impact the people evangelistically. We're wrong. It ain't going to happen. People are not going to, unless the Lord works really hard, and I'm not saying that that can't happen. Okay? But we need to get out there. We need to make ourselves known to people. So the good news that we have needs to be shared. So the main issue for the church is that we recover the nerve. Okay, or as the Baptists put it in one of their books, we become radical. We are radical believers. If you read in the Bible, they didn't mess around. They didn't just go, oh, well, it's okay, and God loves you, and all that kind of stuff. No, they were out there with the people. They were making an impact. And people like Peter and Paul and others made such an impact, they got thrown in prison for it. I wonder if we're willing to do that. However, what we do need to understand is that if we are disciples, then change will happen without us even trying. Because by trying to follow Jesus, by trying to read the Bible regularly, by trying to meet together regularly as God's people, it will change us if we are actually following what Jesus wants. So we are being pervasively transformative. I found a prayer by Saint Ignatius, and it says this: "Dearest Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve. To give and not to count the cost. To fight and not to heed the wounds. To toil and not to seek for rest. To labor and not to ask for reward. Save that of knowing I am doing your will. Amen." And may that be our prayer as we go into the new year, as we think about what New Year's resolutions we are going to make. Am I going to be a follower of Jesus? Am I going to put myself in a local church and do the things that they are doing? Amen.